Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your brother Hussein Kamani. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures we are always able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the opportunity for gaining immense reward by supporting our efforts is endless. You never know who will be able to benefit from your donation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, and jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum. It was in that moment that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around and he said to the companions that were there, Abu Muwahhiba in particular, the servant of Allah was given a choice between living in the world and then Jannah or meeting his Lord and then Jannah. So Abu Muwahhiba, he said, Ya Rasulullah, choose the second one. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked back at him and said, I've already chosen the first. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back home, and it was that day after Fajr Salah that the illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started. It was initially a heavy headache with a very sharp fever. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had difficulty getting out of bed, yet he continued to fulfill his duties and responsibilities. Each morning he would ask the question, whose turn is it today? At whose home will I be spending the night? And at that point, the wives began to realize that he was searching for Aisha radiallahu anha's name. So then they said, O Messenger of Allah, you can go to the house of Aisha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then came to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, and this is where he spent the remainder of his life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued leading the Sahaba in prayer. The last prayer he led them, in which they heard him lead out loud, was the Maghrib prayer. And the last surah they heard him read was Surah Al-Mursalat. After Maghrib Salah, he came home. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting. The time of Isha came. The companions were sitting in the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his wudu, and he was walking towards the masjid, and on the way to the masjid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam became unconscious. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gained consciousness again, the first thing he asked was, have the people prayed? They said, O Messenger of Allah, no one's prayed. Hum yantadhirunak, they're waiting for you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam got up a second time, he performed his wudu. He started heading to the masjid the second time and he fainted again. He woke up and asked, have the people prayed? They said, no, Messenger of Allah, they're all waiting for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he renewed his wudu a third time, and then he was going, and then he fainted again. And if you've studied the Prophet's life, what you know is that he wasn't someone who fell very easily. But life was long for him, and the journey was now coming to an end. Even the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was finding it difficult to deal with what this dunya was giving him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last time he gained consciousness, he said, "Muru Abu Bakr falyusalli bin nas." Tell Abu Bakr he will lead prayer. I won't be leading anymore. This statement of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam broke the hearts of everyone in Medina Munawwara. Everyone became sad. What would Medina Munawwara be if on their musalla it wasn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Aisha radiallahu anha, who was there, she said, O Messenger of Allah, I think it's better if Abu Bakr is not the one who leads. Let's have someone else lead. The Prophet said, why? She said, well, because he's a very soft person. He cries a lot in prayer. People won't be able to hear him. She starts making up excuses. Later on, she herself says, the reason why I was making up excuses was because I had a feeling that anyone that stood in place of the Prophet would be disliked by the people. Because the Prophet was he was loved too much. And there was no one that can live up to that, so anyone that stood in his place would be viewed as a replacement and people would dislike that person. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew better. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell Abu Bakr he will be the one who leads. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he leads the companions in salah and he continues to lead them. It was during this time that many stories took place, many incidents took place. For example, the family members gathered together and they tried to give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some medication. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to take the medication. They insisted and gave it to him anyway, without his permission. They gave it to him while he was unconscious. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became unconscious. They gave him medication while he was unconscious. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up, he tasted the medicine in his mouth. And he said, "Who did this?" And they pointed towards the Habshiya, Asma bint Umais. And there were other women there. They said, "These were the people that were involved in giving you the medicine." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very upset. And he said, "Everyone that put medicine in my mouth, place medicine in their mouth. Except for Abbas. My uncle Abbas, nothing will happen to him." And that's exactly what happened. They actually put that medicine in everyone's mouth except for Abbas radiallahu anhu. And this teaches us that you can't force medication upon people. It's the choice of the person that's being treated to accept the medication or reject. And if they realize that the end of life has now come, you can't force it on them that we're going to keep you alive, we're going to keep you alive, we're going to keep you alive. And there's a lot of discussion that could take place here. It was during this window at some point that Fatima radiallahu anha comes to visit her father. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't able to greet her at the door as was his normal habit. He would normally get up to greet her, but this day he couldn't get up. So she came to where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying, and she picked up his beautiful head and placed it in her lap, and everyone kind of backed up a little bit. And at that point, Fatima radiallahu anha, she was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were having this intimate moment, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought her in nearby, and he whispered something into her ear that made her cry. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the tears in the eyes of his beautiful flower, his Zahra. So he brought her in a second time and he whispered something into her ear which made her smile. Later on, Fatima radiallahu anha tells Aisha radiallahu anha that the first time he whispered something into my ear, he told me that it was time for him to leave the dunya. And that brought tears to my eyes. I didn't want to think of my Baba leaving, but it was going to happen. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the tears in my eyes and his heart must have broken seeing me cry. So he wanted to cheer me up and he pulled me in and said, "Does it not bring you joy to know that you will be the leader of the women of paradise? And you will be the first to join me from my family members." Fatima radiallahu anha is being told that she's going to pass away at a young age, but she's smiling. Because what good is there in the dunya if there is no messenger of Allah in the dunya? And for her, it's time to move on. The sooner the better. 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away, Fatima radiallahu anha also departs from the dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's illness continued to grow. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha that the poison Zainab gave me in Khaybar has come back to me today. He was poisoned, if you remember, in Khaybar. And he said, "I can feel the effect of that poison that Zainab Yahudiya gave me. I can feel it till today. And it's coming back at me, and it's what's eating away my body." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, he leaned on the shoulder of two of his relatives, and he entered into the mosque, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was leading them in prayer. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got ready to move back, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Stay there, keep leading." Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu moved back anyway. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated on the ground by his two relatives. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the remainder of that dhuhr salah. The first half was led by Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The second half was led by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's some serious honor that you shared salah in imamah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is there left to share at this point? What's left? After salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Bakr, "Why did you move back when I told you to stay there?" He said, "O Messenger of Allah, there is no way in the dunya Abu Quhafa would stand in front if Rasulullah was behind him. That wasn't going to happen. The son of Abu Quhafa would never," Abu Bakr, he's referring to himself, "I would never stand in front if Rasulullah was behind me. That would never happen." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started his khutbah. And this was the final and last public sermon he gave in his life. sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was 2 days before he passed away, after Dhuhr Salah, a day and a half, 2 days before. And in the sermon, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised Allah. And then he made dua for the martyrs of Islam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned to the Ansar and he praised them for their courage and for them bringing him home. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned to the Muhajirun and said, your numbers will only increase. So don't push the Ansar to the side. More people will move here. Look after them. Take care of them. Honor them and respect them. This is their home. This is their life. This is their city. They've hosted us. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he turned to the crowd and he asked, is there anyone that I owe anything to? Come forward, let us settle the affair. The companions sat there quietly. In one narration, one person came forward and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told someone, take care of this debt. And then everyone sat there quietly. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, today I have paid back every debt except for the debt of Abu Bakr. Zawwajani ibnatahu. He gave me his daughter. The heart of my life, the sweetness of my day, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. Hamalani ila dar al hijra. He carried me and delivered me to Medina Munawwara. He left his own daughters behind in Mecca and gave me preference. أَنْفَقَ عَلَيَّ مَالَهُ. This guy used to be rich when we were young. And today he's poor because he gave me all of his wealth. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had his head lowered down and he was crying in the corner of the gathering. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi quotes this narration in his Tariq al-Khulafa. He says, while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saying this, he had his head lowered down and he was crying and he kept saying, وَهَلْ أَنَا وَمَالِي إِلَّا لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, you keep saying that I gave you, I didn't give you anything. Allah gave me life and Allah gave me wealth to serve you. As they say, لَا شُكْرَ عَلَى الْوَاجِبِ. There's no thanking someone if they're fulfilling their responsibility. I became Abu Bakr because I was able to serve you. Without you, there was no Abu Bakr. Just another goat herder. That's all I was. There was nothing else. Just another businessman who lived in some desert. Millions have come and gone. But the honor of Abu Bakr was because of his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the truth is, this is the reality of every believer. The more you invest in building a relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the more your value will increase in this dunya. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every sunnah, the more you bring into your life, the more meaningful your life becomes. The more meaningful your actions become, the more meaningful your prayer becomes, the more meaningful your dress becomes, the more meaningful your speech becomes. Allah is interested in His Prophet. Hussein's dress, Hussein's speech means nothing. This speech only becomes something meaningful if it's about the Prophet, if it's about Allah. Otherwise, it's just words. That's why the Arabic poet said, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ فِي الْأَنَامِ فَضِيلَةٌ. Every prophet that came to mankind was given a special virtue. لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ فِي الْأَنَامِ فَضِيلَةٌ وَجُمْلَتُهَا مَجْمُوعَةٌ فِي مُحَمَّدِ. And all of the honors that were given to all of the prophets are gathered together in my Muhammad. مَا إِن مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمَقَالَتِ. Today I have not praised the Prophet Muhammad with my words. And with this series, ولكن مدحت مقالتي بمحمد. But my speech has been praised by the name of Muhammad. Today we live another day of honor because Allah allowed us to hear these words. Because we had the chance to maybe experience a moment of love for him. Because maybe a tear came out of our eye out of love for him. One day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the companions. It was just during this last window. And he said to the companions that one day will come that you will look for me, but you won't find me. And once you don't see me, the people of that time will be willing to trade their family and their wealth just for one glimpse. Only if they can give everything away to see me, but that moment will pass by. These moments will leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mention is an honor for us. Naming ourselves after him is an honor for us. You know, I was somewhere not too long back and at jiu-jitsu, and there's this guy, every week he meets me, and whenever he wants to roll with me or fight with me, he says to me, "Hey Muhammad, you want to go? You want to go, Muhammad?" And I will say, "Okay, let's do it." So 2 weeks ago, he found out my name was Muhammad. So he came to me and he says to me, "Hey man, why didn't you tell me your name wasn't Muhammad? I've been calling you Muhammad for 2 years now." And I said to him, "That's the highlight of my life. I wish you would continue to call me that. No one else in the dunya calls me that. The fact that you called me that gives me so much joy. How lucky would I be if my name actually was Muhammad? That I would have the nisbah, a connection with that name." Sheikh Yunus rahimahullah, I had the honor of doing hajj with him. And long story, there was a big incident that happened, and at the end of the incident we were leaving the haram and he was crying. He was an old man in his wheelchair, very old, very weak, very frail. And I was pushing him out of the haram in the wheelchair and I noticed he was crying. So I went to him and I said to him, "Sheikh, why are you crying?" And Sheikh Yunus said to me, "Hussein, the only reason why people come and shake my hand and they kiss me and they hug me and they ask me to make dua for them is because I built a relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had it not been for the Prophet of Allah, Yunus was some kid who played in the dirt in Jaunpur. No one should have known of me. No one should know when I die. I was no one. It was just the nisbah, the connection I built with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And you'll see this in the dunya, in your own life. May Allah give us all tawfiq to build that relationship with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this statement of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu should be engraved in your heart. وَهَلْ أَنَا وَمَالِي إِلَّا لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What else am I and my wealth for if it's not for you, O Messenger of Allah? Muslims should learn to love the Prophet of Allah from those who hate him. Those who hate him don't stop hating him. They put millions of dollars to try to hurt that name and hurt that image. Muslims should learn that too. Learn to at least love him from your enemy. At least match how much they hate him in your love. Stand up for him, live by his life, learn his life, connect with him, know your deen. Ask yourself that if the Prophet was sending me to America and I was Mu'adh ibn Jabal, how would I live my life? Am I just here by coincidence? Is this all just some joke? Is it so I can figure out my paycheck? Is it so I can buy a new car and get into a new Tesla? Or am I trying to fulfill a promise here? Fulfill a purpose? A promise that Allah made in the Quran, is Allah using me to fulfill that? The illness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. It was the morning of the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. The companions were in the masjid praying Fajr Salah. It was a Monday. The jama'ah had started. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was leading. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took some support and he came to the curtain that lied between his home and the mosque. And he drew the curtain and in front of him the companions were all praying salah. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who narrates a hadith, he says, "We were in salah, Abu Bakr was leading us, but my eyes were on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at us and he smiled. Because that's how he wanted to see his ummah. He didn't want to see the ummah absent from the masjid at Fajr. He wanted to see the ummah present at Fajr, together, united, standing in front of Allah. And Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, I hadn't seen a smile like this in so long, but all I wanted to do was break my salah and go and hug him. He says this in the narration. I just wanted to leave whatever I was doing, go forward and hug Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we didn't. We continued our prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes back home. And at some point in these days, another incident is that he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, Aisha, do we have any wealth at home? Any money sitting around? Aisha radiallahu anha brings a small amount of money, gold. She presents it in front of the Prophet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, distribute this immediately. How will Muhammad show his face to his Lord if he has this dunya with him? But if Allah asks me, is that why I send you to the dunya? To earn money? Or did I send you as a prophet? What is this dunya doing? And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the world, he had no assets to his name. There was no wealth, no gold, no silver, no slave, no, everything was distributed. After Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back from Fajr Salah, as was the habit of the companions, they would come to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after prayer to check up on him. And they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seemed to be doing better. He looked a little bit more energetic. He had a little bit more life in him. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he greets the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he says to the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, you look better. If I have your permission, I'd like to go visit my wife who lives outside Medina Munawwar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, go. This was their last meeting. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A friendship that was so long and so meaningful, full of sacrifices. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had no idea. He was seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the last time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sending him off, maybe with a smile on his face, that I'm happy that my Abu Bakr is going away happy, going to his family. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he heads out. Ali radiallahu anhu, he exits the masjid and he's walking around outside. Abbas said to him, Ali, what are you doing here? He said, the Prophet's feeling better. Abbas said, I have seen death in the children of Abdul Muttalib, and I've seen death in Muhammad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shortly after that, his health begins to deteriorate. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha holds Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into her lap, and she brings his head very close to him, cherishing the moments that remain. Her brother Abdul Rahman enters into the room and he's performing miswak. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the final moments of this dunya, he begins to look at the miswak very carefully. And Aisha radiallahu anha knew exactly what had to be done. She took the miswak from her brother's hand, she moistened it with her saliva, and she began to perform miswak for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, there are many honors that I carry that no one can match. The day the Prophet passed away, he was in my house and it was my turn too. He was in my arms right by my chest. And when he left the dunya, my saliva was in his mouth as he said his final words and he breathed his last. There was a little bowl of water nearby. She took the water and placed it on his forehead to calm him down. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Ala inna lil mawti sakarat. And when he said the word maut, the companions knew this was the end of the line. It was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit that when he would experience illness, he would read the mu'awwadhat, blow them on his hands, and then rub his body. but he was too sick to read. So Aisha radiallahu anha would read the surahs for her. But when it came time to rub over the body, she wouldn't use her hands. She would take his blessed hands because she knew there was no barakah in them. She would take his blessed hands, she would blow on them, and then use those hands to wipe over his own body. The hadith can be found in Ibn Majah and also other narrations that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the companions, whoever is nearby, gather them one last time. Let me give one last advice. The companions that were nearby were quickly rushed into the room of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the final advice to the ummah. He said, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Promise me you won't leave your salah. Don't leave it. Whatever happens in the world, don't leave your salah. We've come this far, we've accomplished so much because we were loyal to Allah. When we turn away from Allah, there will be no honor. There will be no success. There will be no conquest. There's no moving forward. As-salah. Wa ma malaka aymanukum. And be just to those that your right hands possess. Anyone that's under your authority, be just. As-salah, huququllah. Wa ma malakat aymanukum, huququl ibad. Be mindful of your rights to Allah and your rights to human beings, and you will continue to grow. But when you forget Allah, nasullaha fanasiyahum. They forgot Allah, Allah also forgot them. But when they remember Allah, fadhkuruni adhkurkum. I will remember you. You might be alone in your apartment praying Isha, but it's in that moment that Allah is mentioning you by the malaika, and everyone in the malaika, everyone in the heavens is talking about you, that Allah is mentioning this one. This one is remembering Allah. After Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives his last advice, he then raises his finger towards the heavens and he said, Allahumma fir rafiq al-a'la. Oh Allah, join me with the highest companion. Aisha radiallahu anha says that before his hand even came down, I knew that hand would never raise again and I started crying. In one narration, she says that as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body went limp, I smelt a beautiful fragrance as his soul left his body. And the greatest mercy to mankind left the dunya. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says there was no day that was darker in Medina Munawwara than that day. The sun was out, but it meant nothing to us. Everyone in Medina Munawwara was in tears. Everyone had lost someone. Everyone had lost something. In reality, everyone had lost everything. And people until the end of times would come to Medina Munawwara hoping to see him, but he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be gone. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he hears the news, he says, it's impossible. He has gone to meet his Lord like Musa went to meet his Lord. He will be back soon. Anyone that says the Prophet has passed away, I will behead him. Ali radiallahu anhu is on the ground and he's crying. Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, they're crying. Uthman radiallahu anhu is crying. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu hears the news. And he leaves his house immediately. He mounts his horse, he arrives to Medina. He rushes into his daughter's home, hoping that it was all just a false rumor. And he sees people have gathered around and they're crying. And in the middle of them was a man lying, covered in a Yemeni sheet. He sat next to the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he moved the sheet from his beautiful face. He leaned forward and kissed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the forehead, and he cried. And he said to him, "Tibta hayyan wa mayyita." You were so beautiful and pure when you were alive, and you've lost none of it as you lie here today in front of me, passed away. You're amazing, O Messenger of Allah. You will never be forgotten. You will always be remembered. We will name our kids after you. We will study your life. We will continue to visit Medina Munawwara. And we will make dua to Allah that one day we meet you and we embrace you. And that you embrace us too. We will always pray that you don't turn away from us on the Day of Judgment. We will ask Allah to always keep you in His mercy and to never let any harm or pain come to you. And that Allah covers the flaws of this ummah from you on the Day of Judgment. And that we are blessed to drink from your hands. And that you intercede on our behalf on the Day of Judgment. And that we aren't deprived of your companionship in Jannah. Even if we end up in the fire of hell, this gathering is a witness that we loved you. Our nafs failed us. It took advantage of us. And that's why we're so far. But these hearts are aware of how much it means to us just to be able to say your name and to learn about you. Ya Rasulullah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu then exits the masjid. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is waving his sword. He says, Umar, put it away. Umar radiallahu anhu, he doesn't listen to Abu Bakr. He's just in his own world. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu finds a place where people can hear him and they gather around him. And he says, Ayyuhan Nas, O people, gather together. I don't know how Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu delivered a speech after kissing the forehead of Rasulullah. I don't know how he did it. You know, I thought of this for a long time. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was by the side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his entire life. But the moment the Prophet passed away, he wasn't there. What an ajeeb thing. He was there every way, every step. He was there, he was there, he was there. But right at the end, he wasn't there anymore. How? Why did Allah take him out of the picture? Wallahu a'lam, but one thought that comes to my mind is that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulled him away because he would need to have control over himself after the Prophet passed away. And the reins would be in his hand and he would need to be ready to control the ummah. And maybe another possibility is that had Abu Bakr been there when the Prophet passed away, maybe he would have passed away with the Prophet too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and replaced him with the closest of kin, Aisha radiallahu anha. And she finishes off the task that her father started many years ago. The hijrah that he started many years ago, she takes him the last part of the journey to the grave. And this thought of mine isn't just based on nothing. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu passed away, his death was somewhat sudden. It was out of nowhere. Umar radiallahu anhu was murdered, Uthman radiallahu anhu was murdered, Ali radiallahu anhu was murdered. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu woke up one day, he got a cold, a few days later, he passed away. People didn't know. Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi quotes a narration from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that someone asked Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, what caused the death of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? He responded back by saying, his death was caused by the death of the Prophet. He was only able to hold out for 2 years though. He was patient for 2 years. He did sabr for 2 years. But then after that, he couldn't do it anymore. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave this phenomenal lecture. And he said, Amma ba'd, after praising Allah, Ayyuhan nas, O people, Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa'innahu qad mat. Whoever used to worship Muhammad, let him know that Muhammad has left the dunya. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And whoever worships Allah, Allah is living and He will never die. This deen doesn't end here. This journey doesn't end here. We need to continue. We have to push hard. We will struggle. We will live His legacy. We will live His life. We will dedicate ourselves to it. So that when we meet Him on the Day of Judgment, He is proud of us. This isn't going to stop here. He didn't sacrifice His life so we can stop. They didn't sacrifice their lives for 1400 years, so it stops here. It's not stopping here. We won't let it stop here. We as a community will continue. People who it's expected least from, just as they were chosen by Allah, Allah will choose you. Today that love will exist in your heart, and today that fire will light, and tomorrow it'll shine in the corners of the world. We will not walk away. We're not here to lose. This isn't a team of people who lose. We are people that have resolve. We have vision. We have focus. We have commitment. If you wish to hurt me, try and do whatever you want. If you're trying to hurt the deen, if you will try to take away this beautiful deen of the Prophet away, we won't let that happen. We will stand by it. You can call it backward if you want. You can make fun of it if you want. You can say whatever you want. But for us and for the Muslims, the cause of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the greatest purpose in our life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after passing away, there was no janazah salah left for him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried in a grave that was dug out in a Medina style. There's a Madani style grave that they would dig people out in, that they would dig out and bury people in. That was the grave that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lowered into. It was dug out by an Ansari companion. And the companions came in groups, and they would stand in front of the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would cry. And they would remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A Bedouin arrived 3 days after the Prophet was buried. And when he came, he found the grave of the Prophet and he started crying. He said, I've come from so far to be your Sahabi, I just missed you by 3 days. And he stood there quietly and he read some lines of poetry. And then he left. Before he said the lines of poetry, he actually said something. He said, O Messenger of Allah, when the Sahaba committed sins and you were alive, they would come to you. They would ask Allah for forgiveness. You would ask Allah for forgiveness on their behalf. Allah would forgive them. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرُ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ التَّوَّابَ الرَّحِيمَ He said, what about me? I've sinned too. And I've asked Allah for forgiveness. Will you not intercede on my behalf as well? And then he said some lines of poetry and he left. Someone in Medina Munawwara saw a dream. And in their dream, they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed this individual that so-and-so Bedouin came and he read some lines of poetry. They were so beautiful. So this person woke up and he began to search for the Bedouin. By the way, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi narrates this story. He says the man, he woke up the next day and began to search for the Bedouin. And he came to him and he said to him, will you not read for me the lines of poetry that you read yesterday for the Prophet of Allah? The Bedouin said, how did you know about them? No one was there. I was standing at the grave alone. So this person said, I saw a dream last night, and in that dream Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me about your lines of poetry. And until today, these lines of poetry are engraved outside the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until today. When the men go to give salam to the Prophet's grave, there are two pillars on the side of the gates. And in the middle of the gate there is a border, and in the border, in golden calligraphy, are these lines. Ya khayra man dufinat fil qa'i a'zamuhu fataba min tibihinna al-qa'u wal-akam nafsil fida'u li qabrin anta sakinuhu fihi al-afafu wa fihi al-judu wal-karam أنت الشفيع الذي ترجى شفاعته على الصراط إذا ما زلت القدم وصاحباك فلا أنساهما أبدا من السلام عليكم ما جرى القلم. And people have gone to Medina Munawwara and continue to go, trying to spend their moments with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you go to Medina Munawwara, you see all of mankind gathering together in different colors, standing there, giving their salam to the Prophet, trying to gain their moment of companionship. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with these sweet, beautiful moments of time spent with Rasulullah. What you're experiencing now, that connection in your heart, is very important. It's very important for you to feel this. This is a sign of your love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You should ask Allah to let you feel this closeness for as long as you live. That as long as you are alive in the dunya, you continue to feel that closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to close this session and this series with a few points. The first thing is, try to create a meaningful relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learned so much, we studied so much. There's more to learn, there's more to study. Spend time every day sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Improve every aspect of your life and add more sunnah into it. Ask yourself, what kind of relationship do I have with the Prophet? Has it increased in any way? Ask yourself, what kind of khidmah am I doing for this deen and for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's clear that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu dedicated his life to serving the Prophet. The question is, how much sacrifice have we made for the cause of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Be with people who follow the sunnah. Stay in gatherings where hadith is studied. Increase your knowledge. Whether you like it or not, if you are a Muslim, you have a Muslim name, you have Islamic attire, then know that people view you as a representative of the Prophet. When I drive my car with this beard, people don't think Hussein's driving the car. They think it's someone who represents Muhammad who's driving the car, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't cut anyone off. Give other people way. Smile at them. Don't fail that image. That's the least that you can do. The last thing you want is someone says on the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah, I would have become Muslim, but it was this person who misrepresented your Prophet. What face will we show? Create that desire and yearning to be a good representation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's so much more to learn. May Allah reward Sheikh Abdul Nasir, who put this beautiful Seerah podcast together that has 150 plus, 160, 70, 80 episodes to it. If you want to learn more about the Seerah, go there and study it. Go there and listen to those audios and build that deep connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were some lines of poetry that I was reading earlier today by the famous Pakistani poet Iqbal Azim. I wanted to share them with you guys as we close this series. He says, Nama aqa jahabi liya jayega, zikr unka jahabi kiya jayega. That wherever the name of our master is mentioned, in whichever gathering our prophet is remembered, noor hi noor sino mein bhar jayega, sari mehfil mein jalwe lipak jayenge. Those gatherings will only have noor in those hearts. And the entire gathering will begin to burst with color and excitement because his name was mentioned there. E Madina ke zair khuda ke liye dastane safar mujhko yun mat suna. O visitor of Medina, for the sake of God, don't tell me about your journey. I don't want to hear about what happened when you were in Medina. Baat bad jayegi, dil tadap jayega. mere muhtaat aansu jalak jayenge. You'll go too far. My heart will be too full. These tears that I have been holding back will come flowing out.
In ki chashme karam ko hai, iski khabar, kis musafir ko hai, kitna shoqe safar.
That honorable sight of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very aware of which heart carries how much desire. The Prophet will be able to see which heart really loved him, which heart was truly connected to him.
Hum ko iqbal jab bhi ijazat mili, hum bhi aqa ke darbar tak jayenge.
Then the poet refers to himself, he says, O Iqbal, whenever Allah gives you the chance to go, we will also go to the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with that honor. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. La ilaha illallah.